Hello, and welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 153. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And this week,
it's been busy.
Yeah, it's been busy, and we're kind of making this up as we go, I think. But hey, we'll work on that. Yeah, I'm not doing good today, I'm sorry. So last week we talked about Flower a little bit. Rocky's Magic Number had just purchased it while it was on sale and was talking to us a little bit. And we have discovered why you need to play a little more in-depth of a game before we start talking about it on a podcast. One of the things he said was there's not a whole lot of man's influence in the game except for the wind towers in the third level. Well, once you actually get to the fourth, fifth, and sixth levels, so the entire later half of the game, you actually have a whole lot of man's world that kind of encroaches on the flowers world. In the fourth level, you're kind of dealing with, you actually are activating electric poles in order to put some light on the flowers that are in the area. And I apologize for anybody who finds these to be spoilers, but we did determine it was a four-year-old game. in the fifth level, it's actually kind of annoying because you have the flowers that you have to activate that are kind of under and entwined in some of the electric poles, or like the big metal girdered electric poles. And if you hit the poles before you activate all the flowers, it shocks your flowers, sends it reeling backwards, and kind of does a smoke effect. So it gives you that, you don't want to do this effect. And it kind of takes away the whole relaxing vibe that the rest of the game has. And then in the sixth level, you become kind of this, I'm going to call it Super Flower, mainly because it reminded me a lot of Super Sonic, the way it kind of glowed yellow and could take down the big metal girders. So, there is actually a lot of man's world. I'm still going with that. Instead of it you being the wind and blowing the flower around, you're still a flower dreaming. Still going with that. I still liked the game. It was still a lot of fun. And the last level is a lot more peaceful compared to the fifth level. But we did discover that we do need to probably play through a little further before we talk about the games.
We were giving our first impressions. I mean, I'm not giving you a full review of, you know, every nuance of, you know, everything.
I'm just saying that we said that there wasn't a whole lot of man's world in there. Oh. We were wrong.
Well, we just started. I mean, so far we didn't see much of, you know, the impact that man has on the environment or how the environment impacts man. I don't know.
But it's still a fun game. I still advise you playing it if you have a PS3. If you haven't already played it.
Kind of sad, though. It sounds like it's so short. It would have been, you know, nicer if there was just, you know, more variety of levels.
Well, it was a DLC, just a downloadable title to begin with, and it wasn't, even when it came out brand new, if I remember correctly, it wasn't very much money.
It was like, $7 or something? That's fine. But you're paying like $1 per level. It would have been nice if there was just a few more levels.
True. Yeah, I don't know how much it was at release, but I know it wasn't very much money. And it was done by That Game Company. Sony's a studio of Santa Monica. That was about the extent of my video game playing this week, unfortunately. It's been one heck of a week. I have almost rebeaten the original Legend of Zelda, though.
Did you buy the port for the DS?
I bought the DS. We bought the DS in that time where they did that Founders Rewards where you could download all these games for free.
So it's a freebie you got.
Yeah, it was one of the freebies that they gave to the people that jumped on the 3DS bandwagon early.
I'm glad I waited to jump on, mostly because that XL is so much nicer.
It is a nice system.
I like the bigger screen. I really do. Yeah, I haven't played like anything. I wish I could, you know, be playing stuff, but it's just like I have so much other stuff right now. It's encroaching. Mostly outdoor stuff.
Yeah.
That and trying to keep up
them
with the
weeds.
That and exercising still.
Yeah, and I had a new roommate move in, so that kind of took up my time cleaning the house, preparing for said roommate, then actually moving to helping said roommate move in.
We got a roof on the place.
Boy, don't we sound, you know, geeky and all adulty. Yeah.
No, I did a bit of geeky stuff this week. I read Saga.
Oh yeah, I guess
volume
we did.
One.
We read comics.
Yeah.
We read Saga Volume 1 because... Was it Fiona Staples?
Yeah.
who was at Comic-Con, who we, Proteus and
Rampage
got to go. Sorry, all of a sudden my brain just gave out. But in any case, they got to, you know, sit on a sort of round table interview with her, and I had never heard of her, and other people are all, like, talking about it, and... But yeah, we read the first tradeback volume of Saga from Fiona Staples, and I can't remember the guy's writer now. I think the book's in the other room. But in any case, I enjoyed it, but I don't know if it's rave spectacular awesome that everyone else has led me to believe. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I think it's good, I guess. I have read better graphic novels, I guess I can say. There are some that I very much would prefer to it, but it's not bad.
No, it's not bad in any way. It's solid, but I think it uses some tropes that we've already had in other sort of stories, like star-crossed lovers and trying to make sure that their kid survives and that sort of rogue figure who's actually righteous in that bounty hunter character. And
I don't know, it sounds like he's going to be quite awful, but well, like, there's a little bit of redeeming value in him, but he is generally just
yeah.
But again, this is just the first volume of the trade paperback, and there's just a lot of foundation laying still going on in terms of the story. You know, there's not kind of a lot happen. It's just like introducing all these characters and sort of their dynamics and where they belong in the world.
Yeah, I just feel like there's some stuff that they know that we don't know yet, but it's just, you know, I just need a little bit more about how the world sort of works, and I guess in this case, how the universe sort of works.
Yeah.
But the, you know, the art is, you know, clean and easily, you know, easy to read. It's not confusing which character is which and what's going on and that sort of stuff, yeah. Which is good, because there's been a few novels I've read recently, and I'm just like, okay, I know all the characters, but some of the writing is a little bit lackluster, so I don't know exactly what's going on, or some of the stuff is not quite visually clear.
Yeah.
But we've also read the first trade paperback of Adventure Time in comic form, which, if you watch enough Adventure Time, then you read it, you can imagine everybody's voices in there.
It's pretty amazing.
Because they wrote it well enough that the lines flow and sound natural to the characters.
Yeah.
And it's a fun little story. There's lots of little side things in it. Like, there's sometimes, like, really teeny tiny text on the bottom of a page. Like, I mean, really tiny.
And in this light green
font color. So it's really hard to read sometimes. But it has, like, little tidbits and stuff. And there's just some, you know, interesting humor that, you know, is from Adventure Time. I really enjoyed it. It was fun.
Okay. The distinction between Desert Princess and Dessert Princess.
Yeah. There is a princess who you would think would be Dessert Princess.
Because she's shaped like a pie.
Yeah, like a cake or something.
Yeah.
But she's actually Desert Princess because she can...
Like sand magic.
Yeah, sand magic. Make sand people and such, and sandwiches and whatnot.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess the other thing is, I also read a manga just because the premise seemed interesting. I can't say it very well. It's like, Uku? Because it's O with a little line above it, then O-K-U.
Oku, I think.
Oku?
I would guess so, because the O with a line over it signifies a long O. Which is already like, yeah.
Okay. But it's a fairly recent manga. I think it won an award for like a 2008 competition or something. I'll have to go and see again. But in any case, I got the only first volume, because the first volume and then all the volumes afterwards.
Three through eight or
whatever. Yeah, no, not volume two. So I'm gonna have to request that one. But the basic premise is that they believe it's this little boy basically pisses off the mountain gods. So the mountain gods decide to punish mankind. And then they do it by killing off nearly the entire male population of Japan. It gets brought down to about a quarter of the population during the Edo period of Japan. So this is like the late 16... This is about the 1600s. Because most of the main story takes place in like 1716. It's like 1720 so far. And basically, men and women's roles have been reversed. Everything has been sort of reversed because men are considered to be, you know, the weaker of the sexes now, because if they overexert themselves, a lot of males still die because this disease sort of just wiped them all out and still has made them not very healthy. And it's been almost about 100 years since this happened. All the women are the laborers. They work in the farms. They're the, you know, the merchants and craftspeople. They make everything. Even the supreme government, the shogun, is a woman now. And guys are sort of the ones who are sold off to the brothels, and women, you know, basically buy them so they can get it on, so they can hopefully get pregnant and have kids. And it's a rare thing if a woman can actually pay to afford to marry another, to pay and marry a guy. Basically, they have to provide dowry for taking somebody's, you know, male child away. And it's basically following the story of this guy who gets put into sort of like the queen, it's called the inner chamber, which are basically kept men for the shogun. They do a variety of other tasks other than just, you know, being her sort of playthings. They also keep the castle in order and sort of do some of the, you know, running of things, but not a lot. Most all the lead positions are held by women. So it's following one guy's sort of progress through there and the new shogun who takes power because the other previous shogun was like a child who passed away. So now we have an actual, you know, older lady who's, you know, we must get back to, you know, not overspending, and why do I have so many peacocks around me, and, I liked it. The art's very crisp and clear, and the gal who draws it has really excellent line control. Her characters are very well done, and the story, just the premise is interesting, because while Japan's been, you know, totally role reversal, the rest of the world isn't. And so I think the next books are going to be the discovery of that, because nobody is, you know, seemed to question why are women all in charge and why is it that these foreign visitors are all men and say that they don't bring their women because the women are weak and such. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm going to, you know, go get some other volumes of it and keep reading. But I guess that's what we did. We did reading. I also have Geek Girls Unite that I need to read.
Cool. I played a very little bit of the original Final Fantasy on my Game Boy.
So it's a Game Boy Advance remake, or update. I guess you could call it update. It's still the same game. They just kind of tweak things to make the difficulty curve a lot less steep and awful.
Like if you tell a guy to attack somebody and he's dead when he comes to his turn, it's not ineffective. It actually attacks somebody who's still alive.
Yes.
Yes.
And I had never played the original Final Fantasy for NES, so this is my first, you know, attempt at it.
I have. Oh my goodness. It's hard. It's just everything. You just pray all your characters live all the time. I find people who do the whole white mage party insane, so. But also Final Fantasy is great because it's still that era of cryptic gaming, and it makes you kind of, you know, go to
with a king named The King.
Yeah. The princess at least has a name, but it's Sarah. I'm all like, why is her name Sarah? Is her name Sarah in the Japanese version as well? Or did it just get turned into Sarah for the, you know, import? I guess that's one of the things now, knowing more, since I know more about Japanese culture and sort of some of the underlining tropes and that sort of thing about what's going on, you pick them up more in old games, you're like, I totally missed that as a kid. Totally did not get it. Sometimes I always wondered why in Legend of Zelda, the magic book in the first one was backwards. I'm like, why is the book backwards? It's because, you know, Japanese read left from right to left, not left to right. And so,
yeah, I never know. Really picked up on that. I just always assumed that it was laying on its, you know, laying upside down.
But no, because it has writing on the cover, and that's why I was all like, why is it backwards?
Put writing on back covers now. Yeah, like all the critics, you know, the reviews of, you know, the Index of the Hylian Language. This is an excellent resource for anyone, you know, hoping to decipher runes in the desert.
Yeah. But are you having fun with it?
1 out of 5. I got struck by lightning when I tried to decipher things.
But are you enjoying it so far? I know you're not very far. I mean, you basically did the rescue the princess from Garland, and have you got across the bridge yet?
No, I had just basically, they're like, we're going to build the bridge because it's part of the prophecy. And then the other guy's like, what part of the prophecy?
Prophecy? Yeah. Is it prophecy?
The Light Warriors?
Prophecy of the Light Warriors who will save everything or whatever.
Yeah.
So they the prophecy's like, maybe the Light Warriors will save everything.
But at least we're hoping that they do, because bad, if they don't, bad, things will be bad.
Good to know.
So you have to tell me what you think when you get further. I should start my file again. Man, all my characters are like level 60, and I have all the crystals, and I'm like, man, I'm almost finished with the game. What made me stop?
So while you guys were talking, because I didn't have much to add, I was trying to look for something to add. Amazon is actually doing a summer game sale through, July 14th. Looks like they actually have some pretty decent sales. One of the bigger ones is a Borderlands Bundle Ganza. This is basically on their downloaded version, and they are selling the original Borderlands Game of the Year edition, Borderlands 2, and the Borderlands 2 Season Pass for $21.99. They normally charge $99.97 for that, so that's 78% off.
That's a sale.
Because I think the Steam sale has started as well.
When I looked this morning, it hadn't yet.
Okay, I know it's coming soon.
The Steam Summer Sale, yeah. Curse you, Steam Summer Sale. Can't just let my wallet live in peace, can you?
I've seen a lot of other people that are like, I am not buying anything this summer. I bought so much stuff last summer that I even haven't played yet that I'm not going to do anything.
They say that now, but just wait.
I will hold out for the winter sale because then I have Christmas money, essentially. Then I can just be like,
I know it's coming. I know it's coming soon.
It always comes sometime around July or August. Yeah. Only this year now it'll include hats and stuff for Team Fortress 2.
Yay, I guess I just don't play any Team Fortress 2, so...
People like their hats.
Do the hats confer any status bonus, or are they just fancy?
They're just fancy. I think they're just fancy.
So they're not like the alternate weapons that actually... make things crazy.
Not that I'm aware of. But hey, it made the game free. True?
Yeah.
And plus, I mean, they've been really entertaining.
Is that a unicorn hat?
The Powdered Practitioner. An integral part of any survival kit, this wig will help you escape Disney World if the Hall of Prudence ever comes to life. It comes with a Tricom hat in case Pirates of the Caribbean comes to life instead. Tradable? Yes. So not only can you get hats, but you can trade hats. For those of you who think this is not news, keep in mind that we don't really play it, so we've never really looked at the whole hat thing. Yeah, they're just hats.
I can't fathom spending real money on fake hats.
It's almost like, it's like, look, I spent all this money to look nice. I don't know. I am not the one who purchases downloadable content, so the most I will do is a subscription. And man, I kind of want to try the new Final Fantasy MMO that's coming out, but I don't want to do the monthly subscription again. I like Guild Wars because when I want to play it, it's readily available for me. And when there's those times I can't afford to do, I don't have to keep remembering to cancel my, you know, membership and thinking about it later and spending all this extra money when I don't have the time to do it.
You know, I blame this drought on us not having a whole lot to talk about between A, it being busy because we're actually doing stuff outside during the summer, and B, the drought between the E3 announcements and the San Diego Comic-Con announcements.
When is San Diego Comic-Con? Over Labor Day?
No, it happens sometime in July.
Okay. It's summer, too. Like, no video game companies release their big titles in the summer. It's always fall. Always right before Christmas. And then everybody complains because they're like, why don't you release them earlier so we can spread things out instead of having to buy 20 games at Christmas time?
Yeah, I complain about that.
Seriously, there's not just on the homepage saying what day?
There it is, July 18th to the 21st.
Okay.
And no, not on the homepage. Was there a thing just saying what day it was on? At least not that I saw. Yeah, see, not there.
Yeah, which is funny. You would think you would want that first up.
Well, I think it's because now Comic-Con.org is actually the homepage of Comic-Con, WonderCon, Ape, and Alternate Press Expo. So they have several different cons that they are showing off, so then you go to their different sites from the top.
Okay, that makes more sense.
And that's where I found when San Diego Comic-Con was, and then WonderCon, I think, actually, yeah, it happened in March.
I thought WonderCon already came
and went. I don't know what Ape is. Ape 2013 Alternative Press Expo. Never heard of that one.
I have heard of it.
Anywho, wow, we are so off subject today.
There's not much subject.
Yeah.
Touché, sir, touché. Hopefully next week our plan on what we wanted to do this week will kind of happen, where we actually get a large group of people together, large being a relative term, and we will find some subject for us all to talk about and do kind of like round table discussion. Yeah. It seemed to work well last week.
Yeah, I think it's going to be roundtable discussion on old school, or at least NES games. I don't know if we should do, like...
I see us starting on NES and it just kind of devolving from there into randomness.
Let's try to stay on topic. Try to.
Stay on topic. Stay on topic.
Distraction came from behind.
Anywho, I think we're just going to go ahead and call it here because we are obviously not getting anywhere on this one. We will be back next week and we promise we will be a little more structured next week. In the meantime, there are actually articles going up on the main site. We have a preview of Watch Dogs, a talk about how the Xbox One apparently isn't coming with a headset, and a quick review on the new Deadpool game. In the meantime, you all have a great week, and game on!
Game on!
Game on!